This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Time now for our Africa update. This week, the latest on Zimbabwe's health crisis and political stalemate. Plus, China takes on pirates off the coast of Somalia. And for more now, we've got Emira Wood. She is co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Emira, how are you?
I'm well. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Let's begin with this. In Zimbabwe, where there is mounting international pressure on President Robert Mugabe to step down, South Africa, Britain, France, and the United States have told Mugabe, are holding Mugabe responsible for the country's economic collapse and blame him for a cholera outbreak that has killed more than 1,000 people. Now, Emira, I'm going to ask you to respond to something, but I want to play a couple of sound bites for you. Here's the first
Sounds
one.
Good.
Over the weekend, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Jindai Frazier met with regional leaders in an attempt to get them to get tough on Mugabe, but Mugabe vowed never to surrender, and he remains defiant.
I will never, never sell my country. I will never, 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 never surrender. Zimbabwe is mine.
Now, Frazier also said that the U.S. is withdrawing its offer to end sanctions and renegotiate with international lending institutions, an offer that had been based on a commitment to power sharing.
We have no confidence that there will be genuine power sharing, which we believe is necessary to put in place the policies that would actually reverse the failed state, the failed economy, certainly in the political violence, which we're continuing to see today with, you know, more than 30 people who have recently been disappeared over just the last month. We can't go on with that.
So, Emira, an awful lot of talking. How long can this stalemate go on?
Well, that's the question. And, you know, it's innocent Zimbabweans, especially the women and children who are suffering from the lack of adequate health care, without food to put on their table. These are the folks that are really paying the price, Tony. It has gone on much too long already. But clearly, since the March election, since the June presidential runoff, it has been month after month of delay. And what is needed is not more saber rattling, really, from Jindai Frazier or other members of the Bush administration or even the European Union. What is needed is the African Union continuing to push, not in its quiet diplomacy, but much more visible in public way, to insist that the power sharing go forward, that Mugabe actually does step down if he cannot agree to the power-sharing arrangement as has been put forward on the table.
But why are the other leaders of the African nations reluctant to stand up to Mugabe more forcefully?
Well, it's exactly this game of rhetoric. So clearly Mugabe, the liberation leader, has a lot of sympathetic ears still because of his historic role in liberation movements, not only in South Africa, but throughout the African continent. What happens when Jindai Frazier and others from the Bush administration speak out, it is almost as if it plays into the hand of Mugabe and his cohorts, essentially saying that they are the only ones that are standing up against the imperialist West. So what is needed is actually African leadership, as has been happening, but it needs to be ramped up to make sure that the deal is not only voiced, but is also finalized, implemented, and put in practice.
So where does all of this, for example, leave Morgan Tsvangirai, who leads the opposition party Movement for Democratic Change?
In a very difficult place. I think the Movement for Democratic Change is in a tough spot now. They have now gone along with this power-sharing agreement, yet they cannot accept the posts in these cabinet positions that are seen as less powerful posts. And so they want not just a name of, you know, co-president, but they want in reality power-sharing. They want in reality the change that the Zimbabwean people so much deserve and need right now. So the Movement for Democratic Change, the trade unionists, the Farmers Association, Women's Associations, human rights activists, all are put in a very tough spot of potentially facing more repression as this stalemate continues.
Well, meanwhile, the cholera outbreak continues, and Mugabe's even saying that it was started by Britain. This is a problem on top of a problem.
clearly you have now escalating numbers of people, not only in Zimbabwe, but throughout Southern Africa, exposed, as you know, disease, Tony, you know well, does not know borders. And here you have people going across borders. Lack of access to clean water is the problem. But clearly, infections of cholera can not only create crippling conditions in Zimbabwe, but can easily be transferred to Zimbabwe's neighbors. So this is, you know, on top of a food crisis, on top of an economic collapse, on top of a political crisis, this is yet another and could well be the final straw for Zimbabweans.
We'll stay tuned. Let's move on to the Horn of Africa, where continued piracy in the waters off Somalia have brought international attention to the area. China now set to send warships to take on the pirates and protect their country's vessels and crews from pirate attacks. But aid groups say more needs to be done about the violence inside Somalia. The capital city of Mogadishu has been under siege from an Islamist insurgency. So I guess one question, Amira, is which is worse, you know, the piracy or the poverty?
Well, let's be clear. You know, the core problem in Somalia is a lack of a government. You know, there was a government for a very brief period from June 2006 to December 2006. And the essentially, the Bush administration decided that because that government called itself the Union of Islamic Courts, that they needed to be ousted. They were extremists. And so there began a series of airstrikes back in December 2006, which has further destabilized the situation in Somalia, destabilize the political crisis and also destabilize the economy. There have been food riots in Somalia, as in many other countries around the world. So what you have is, on top of a political crisis and an economic crisis, you now have this issue of piracy. But clearly, there were no pirates in that six-month period when Somalia had a government. And what is needed now is not for China, nor the U.S., nor the European Union, nor any other country to go forward with either naval assaults or potentially now under a new UN resolution, you know, going on the land to pursue these terrorists. So airstrikes could potentially happen in Somalia now. What is needed is not this further militarization of the Somali situation, but essentially going at the root cause here, working with Somalis to really be able to put in place, to help Somalis put in place a government that they see as credible, not as occupiers or proxies for external forces, whether the U.S. or the Ethiopia, but a government that Somalis believe represents their interests, can help put together not only a political resolution, but an economic resolution that meets the needs of the people.
I don't know if China or any other nation is really listening to that point of view, Amira, to be quite honest with you. And in fact, the piracy has not only, it has spread south from the Gulf of Aden, going down towards Kenya on the eastern coast of the Indian Ocean. That seems to be a widening problem, doesn't it?
But Tony, once you have a government that can assert its sovereignty, control its territorial borders, that is the opportunity to actually address these issues. And we have to remember there are also international measures. You have, you know, international policing, Interpol, and other mechanisms through which there can be greater policing. This piracy is an issue of organized crime, right? So we have to deal with it as an issue of organized crime and not insist that the solution is to bring in, whether Chinese or American or other navies and armies and militaries, to further destabilize the Somali crisis.
Well, there certainly is a great deal of news coming out of Africa, keeping you very busy. We appreciate your taking the time to share your information and knowledge with our audience, as you always do so very well.
It's an honor. Thank you, Tony.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. She joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.